May we be helped to commence our evening worship by singing together hymn 692, to the tune of Brookfield 310. Hymn 692, tune Brookfield 310. I'll read the last four verses, the prayer of the hymn. And dost thou say, ask what thou wilt, Lord, I would seize the golden hour. I pray to be released from guilt and freed from sin and Satan's power. More of thy presence, Lord, impart, more of thy image let me bear. Erect thy throne within my heart, and reign without a rival there. Give me to read my pardon sealed, and from thy joy to draw my strength, to have thy matchless love revealed in all its height and breadth. And then grant these requests, I ask no more, but to thy care the rest resign. Sick or in health, or rich or poor, all will be well if thou art mine. Hymn 692, June Brookfield, 310.
Thank you.
Let us read together for our instruction from the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, chapter 11, and the first three verses of chapter 12. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11, and the first three verses of chapter 12. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of the child when he was past age, when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the sea shore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith
He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, wherein received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The Lord bless the reading of his holy word and help us to pray. Merciful and gracious God, as we now draw near to thee, do grant us, Lord, that the grace to put forth our petition, that it might be in humility, sincerity, and true desire, desiring that thou would help us in our approach, and to give us prayer, for we know not how to pray as we ought. But if thou dost indite prayer, then it will be acceptable unto thee. We pray, Lord, that we may be kept chiefly from ourselves, lest we should think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. But may we think soberly, considering that the path that thou hast set out before us is a thorny and a rough path, and so thou dost have it so that we were not settled down. but press on, desiring those things which will be of that heavenly nature. And then, when we have finished our course, to know that the place prepared, there is no more which will bring trouble or trial or those things that we may have to suffer here in the course of our life. But then it will be peace, and the sorrow and fear will flee away. Oh, these things, Lord, we may ask ourselves, do we ever seek after? And yet there are the times when, with all that goes on around us, and we see the world in its state of evil, of carnality, and of unbelief, oh, we would desire that we may truly believe, and desire to follow him, the despised, the rejected one, and that we may also consider what manner of sufferings his were. But Lord, who can really enter into it? Lord, ours is a light affliction, and it is our mercy that there does not lay upon us more than we are able to bear. And even if we feel we can bear no more, as the apostle desiring that the thorn in the flesh and the messenger of Satan may be taken away, there did say, but my grace is sufficient for thee. And when also we find elsewhere there are trials and troubles and temptations and fires that we may have to pass through, that he giveth more grace. Lord, we do feel that need of more grace. Lord, grace to be watchful, grace to wait, grace to stand still when it is right, grace to go forward when thou dost command it, grace to observe every providence and every work of the soul which may be brought about by the Spirit, whether it is the stirring up or whether it is the settling in word and truth, or whether it is to bring us into that place where thou wilt comfort us and enlarge us. Lord, we do pray that our stakes may be lengthened and our cords strengthened, that we may not, Lord, be left to ourselves. We pray that thou wilt grant thy blessing upon thy people here. Thou knowest them all together, Lord, all that they have passed through, particularly our dear friend in the desk, that which he has passed through, the operation that he's had, but we are thankful he has been brought through. But then we would remember those that have had to look on, and perhaps with anxious moments have wondered what the outcome would be. But Lord, thou hast also granted them the blessing that their dear one is being spared. And Lord, we do not always consider sparing mercies to be a great privilege. But Lord, when we have to face something of this nature, that our friend has, what a blessing sparing mercies are. Nonetheless, O Lord, we will not just be thankful for sparing mercies and then settle down as though this life is the more important thing, but rather like those of old, their faith took them beyond. They sought a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so, Lord, we pray that these eternal things may be uppermost, and all that the dead dost do for us in the way of life here, we would thank thee for it, bless thee for it, and desire that these things have not been without profit and without being for our instruction. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt grant thy mercies upon each one gathered, whether young or old. Lord, many have their responsibilities, bringing up their families. We would pray for the children and desire that they would keep them from the many evils of the day, or that they may grow up with a tender conscience toward thee, and also that they may be made obedient to the voice of their parents and to the word of God. O Lord, we know that our first parents, that was where they sorely fell, by disobedience. O Lord, we pray that we may be given submission to thy will, and therefore be willing to walk the way that thou dost choose, and not the way that we would want. Lord, we do also pray that thou wilt be mindful of our aged sister now with us on this occasion, but often not always able. Thou knowest, Lord, all her condition. We would desire to seek thy blessing upon her, indeed to sanctify those things. But all, each and every one, the powers that we are brought into, we need to pray that they may be sanctified to us, and that they may have that separating effect, causing us to desire the things of God rather than the things of the world. O Lord, put a thorn in our nest. May we not be able to settle down in the things of this life. But nonetheless, Lord, give us ever thankful hearts for every thing that we may have, that this life may provide, food and raiment and much, much beside. So, Lord, give us thankful hearts. We would also pray that there would be with those that are needing to further their studies and therefore may be away from home at times, we pray that thou wilt grant thy watchful care over them, grant them success as is good for them. O Lord, sometimes there are disappointments, but may they prove that their disappointments are thy appointments, and that it may mean that they have to steer a different course, but all of these things are in thy hands. We would pray for thy servants who labour here, but particularly thy dear servant who attends here, and thou knowest, Lord, where he is ministering this night. We would pray that help may be given, and that he might be blessed, or if travelling homeward because he has finished the days of sermons, morning and afternoon, then bring him in peace and safety, and also his dear one. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt be mindful of all thy servants that have laboured thus far, and those that are labouring now, and some a third service. Give them strength and matter also. Fill that earthen vessel, that there may be a pouring out. Now, Lord, we pray that thou would have mercy upon our sinful land. We live in most solemn days, the days where men have gone to the utmost extremes in varying ways, whether in morality or whether it be in their philosophies, and are now denying God with all the reason that they may muster and bring to bear against the truth, and yet they do not see it as a lie, but think that they have the answer to many questions which have only been answered in the Word of God. O Lord, we marvel that thou art so patient and long-suffering. Surely the days are coming when thou wilt appear with thy judgments. We see judgments indeed abroad the earth, but how few seem to take notice of them, let alone to believe that they are God sent. Lord, we pray that we may ever observe and realize that these things are not by chance, but that they are to reprove and to punish as thou seest fit. And Lord, we know that thy own people often need the reproof, even though they may escape the actual punishment which is due unto sin. O Lord, it is our mercy if we have one to plead, even he who shed his precious blood to make that atonement for sin, and to open up that fountain for sin and for uncleanness. Now, Lord, do pardon us of all that we've asked amiss. Do hear prayer for our leaders and for our King in particular, all that is passing through, and other members of the royal family that have recently known some illness or other that has affected them. And Lord, we pray for restoring mercies if it please thee, but we know not. All these things are in thy hands. And now hear us then in heaven thy dwelling place. And when thou hearest, forgive. We ask it in and through the worthy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Paul Tyler is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Matthew Hyde is engaged to preach during an afternoon service next Lord's Day, with the service to commence at 2:30 p.m. And as helped, there will be a red address during a prayer meeting and a red sermon during the morning service, and no evening service. Next Lord's Day is also the day appointed for our monthly collection. May we now be helped to continue our worship, singing together hymn number 24. Hymn 24. June Grosvenor 154. Why should the children of a king go mourning all their days? Great Comforter, descend and bring some tokens of thy grace. Assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear thy witness with my heart that I am born of God. Thou art the earnest of his love, the pledge of joys to come, and thy soft-winged celestial dove will safe convey me home. Hymn 24, June Grosvenor 154.
The Lord may be pleased to help me. I will direct your attention to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11, and reading the 16th verse. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. The Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 11, and the 16th verse. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. When Abraham was called forth to leave Ur of the Chaldees, a city of heathenism, worshipping gods of the sun, moon, and the stars, then Abraham, being brought out, came to Haran, and there with his father and his family, they stayed for a while until Terah's death, and then the Lord told Abraham to go forth to the place of promise. And Abraham, as we read here, went out not knowing whither he went, but he went out in faith. Nonetheless, let us not think that he did not go out tremblingly. And neither let us think that as he went along life's way, there was not those things that troubled him, the fears that he may have had, would he come to the place which the Lord had purposed and prepared. There were doubtless many things which may have caused him anxiety. But then we find that being brought out of the nature's darkness into the light of truth, then there is that in us which desires those things. But so often it is, as the apostle said, not having attained, neither were already perfect. And we're not having attained heaven as yet. We have not attained perhaps the blessings that we would desire, the consolations and the evidences, but we still go forth because we've been brought out from the world. The bringing out of the world may not be something which is clear and clear cut, so to speak. The Lord's ways of bringing us out are often by sickening us of this thing and then that thing, bringing us into those trials and troubles which cause us then to detest and to want to be separated from those fleshly lusts, those things that war against the spirit. And there is that conflict that goes on within the heart, a conflict that only the children of God really know, where they find that there is that which would pull one way, the old nature, and that which longs and desires for something better, and that is the new man of grace. What does the new man of grace find in this world? Does it find things which are lasting? It is proved that all the things of this world must decay and pass away. They cannot remain, but they seek unto that which does remain, and they desire that there may be something which is stable and steady, that they may be founded upon the very rock of their salvation. And so there is that looking unto Christ, though we seem at times to be so far off, and well, rather we are far off from him. He who is ever present, particularly where his people are found, and he does meet with them, and he comes to them. But what do we have to pass through for these things to happen? The disciples, they had to be there in the waters, tossed about, brought almost to despair, before they knew and realized that the Lord was making his way unto them. Had they forgotten that he was under their watchful eye, his watchful eye? So we may sometimes forget, and yet we still desire that he may not pass us by, that he may ever watch over us and keep us, to preserve us from every evil that there is in the world. We are prone in our own hearts to wander and to turn aside. If we are left for one moment, we will soon find that the old nature is seeking that which is of the flesh, and then we need to come to recognize and realize that those things, they are corrupt or will corrupt, and those things, they will pass away, and those things, the little value or benefit that they give will soon come to an end. Or then we may find that yes, our desire is set upon something better. Well, they desired a better city. And you may find that this is so when you pass along through the street and see all that goes on. You feel a speckled bird. You are not one of those that are of this world. You may have to do with them. You may be very courteous to them. You may be willing to even converse with them to that extent as may be for benefit. We have to talk about those things that concern us in our occupation or in whatever sphere of life we are having to live. But when that is done, what do we have in common? What can we say that we really can enter in to their ways? You'll find that there are things that they may talk about that you know nothing about and do not want to know anything about. That is what often brings the distinction between those that are seeking something better. No, we do not want those which draw all the attention of many crowds, and there they may seem to be so successful, so proud in their successes as well, and always are willing to boast of their successes. Well, when you consider the successes of life, and the Lord has taught you, you'll find that when you are in your right mind, that you have to acknowledge that if there was any success, then it was the Lord that gave it to you. And if it was a right success, a success which may be of use as the Lord will so employ that success in your earthly pilgrimage here. But then these things must be even seen as but for a short time. I was going to say for a day, not literally, but for that day, life's little day, as the hymn writer speaks of it, that soon ebbs out. Yes, these seas may have their changing tides, they ebb and flow, so it is with life, things ebb and flow, but there is no continuing or stability. But the soul which is wearied, wearied of earth and of ourselves and of sin, then there is a longing there and a desire to that place which is prepared, prepared of God for us. And we may therefore search our hearts at times as to whether our desires are such that we would be loosed from this time state for that which is better. Well, we find amongst all the changing scenes and all the difficulties that may come and those things that would bring us into much sorrow because we prove that we're not what we would be. And this is a great trial to the child of God. He finds that he's so easily overcome by the adversary. But rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I am down, I shall arise. That is faith speaking, and certain of that when we believe that God's work must be fulfilled, and that it has been fulfilled in the past and will therefore be fulfilled at the present and in the future. But creatures of fear we drag along, and fear where no fear is, but have to prove that we have a faithful God who never leaves us, who does not leave us in the ditch, so to speak, but comes to lift us out and to bring us to that a place of safety. And this is again something that the child of God feels. He finds there is no refuge in this world. We're exposed to all its troubles and ways, but oh, to know a refuge. Now, how beautiful is the hymn, A Refuge for Sinners, the gospel makes known. 'Tis found in the merits of Jesus alone. And those that had faith, they looked unto the one that would come, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and indeed the whole list that is listed here. They were given a single eye. They had faith to believe and to wait that that day would come. They knew not when, but they did know what the promise was. They knew that the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. They knew that Abraham received the promise, and Isaac and Jacob part of that promise also, indeed every child of God, that the Lord would bless his people in that seed. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Isaac may have had natural sons, but he had also spiritual ones through his own son Jacob. That was the one who was to be blessed. And why should Jacob be blessed? We may sometimes ponder it. But Jacob had nothing really to exhibit of any goodness, having supplanted his brother, deceived his father, stole the blessing, and now gone on his way to inherit that which was promised. And dare he? Yes, the world would point the finger and would find every accusation to bring against Jacob. But there at Bethel, the Lord would show him what he needed. And God at the top of that ladder, the angels ascending and descending, coming to where this sinner Jacob was, a wretch indeed, and yet he would be given another promise. I will be with thee in all places whithersoever thou goest, and will bring thee again to this place. Well, Jacob literally returned to Bethel. But you may have a place which to you is of spiritual value, not to be considered to be here or there, but that the place or state which the Lord brought you into, and how you long at times to return, are the spot where the Lord made himself known. Return to the very experience, that you might again know the restoring of your first love, to know the fact that he had pledged to be with you. And perhaps even then you had that hope that your sins were pardoned. Would the Lord look upon you and still regard your sin? Or are they blotted out by that precious blood which was shed? You see, dear friends, the knowledge of these things, we may sometimes have our fears, but nonetheless it leaves a hope that we have something better, and we therefore desire it and long for it. We may have to go out not knowing whether we shall have to go this way or that way. But the Lord led his people, Israel, after the flesh. He led them about in the wilderness. But he would still bring them to the promised land. You see, the Lord will not neglect his promise, but always, always fulfill it. And so we have this confidence. And though you may be ready to cast away that confidence, yet let us listen again to the words of the apostle in a previous chapter, where he says this: ye have compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Receiving of the promise, it is the promise of that which you must inherit. And if made children, then we're also heirs, joint heirs with our Lord and living head, that we should enter therefore into that rest which he himself is. He is our rest. And when the God had created the heavens and the earth, then having completed it, he rested on that seventh day, setting forth completeness. If there was completeness in that, the first creation, then there is certainly completeness in the second, when he that has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Yes, he will bring you there to that day of reception. Can we contemplate it? Does it not seem beyond any expectation? Yet it is the expectation of faith. Yes, you do not know how long it's going to be, but yes, I shall be landed. Soon I shall be landed on yonder shores of bliss. And that is the saint's confidence. But when we say that, again, we know we have much to come between. Many things that we have to encounter. There is the wilderness, isn't there? The wilderness. What a wilderness this world becomes. Does it seem to get less of a wilderness? No. More of a wilderness as you go on. That which you may have set much store by, perhaps in your youth, you can no longer set any store by it. And what are these things? When we come to face that solemn article of death, and we may have to face it at times in our life that's not coming to it actually, but facing it because we pass through those are times when we fear our life is going to come to an end. We fear that there is that which has come upon us which will bring us to an early demise. Think of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, I think I'm right in saying, was only at the age of 39 when the Lord sent his prophet Isaiah to him and said, "Thou shalt die and not live." A young age, comparatively, that the Lord caused his prophet to return, and Hezekiah had turned to the wall, confessed his sin, he had been lifted up, now he was cast down. Now he had to say, "I am oppressed, undertake for me." But the Lord brought those deliverances into his soul, and then his utterance would change, and change because the Lord had again brought hope to his soul, and therefore the belief that the Lord's mercy would be realized in such a degree that it would then find that faith would give place to sight. But now let us just read concerning Hezekiah. He reckoned till morning that as a lion so will he break all my bones. He's speaking of God himself. For many, from day even to night, wilt thou make an end of me. Like as a crane or a swallow I did chatter. I did mourn, like as a dove. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. What shall I say? He hath but both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years, in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, not die, live. And in all these things is the life of my spirit. He puts death on ourself, that he might be the life of our soul. I shall go, so wilt thou recover me, and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save. Oh, what a wonderful thing for faith to grasp and to take in. The Lord is ready to save. Do you believe that? Have you proved it? Will you not go on to prove it? And if as yet you may say, oh, that I might prove it, then the time doubtless will come. That which is spoken in faith will also be realized through faith. And so faith embraces what the Lord himself has spoken. Well, let us return now to our text. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. This better country, what is it that you are seeking after? Well, you may say, I desire that I might be freed from sin. That is indeed the desire of a living soul. By nature we love sin. We walk in it. There is one dear soul in Scotland who, feeling her sins and yet desired to be as a follower of the Lord Jesus, she came to what was called the Kirk Session, which would be like our church meetings, to give her testimony. And there she sat in silence before the elders of the church, which of course were not just to be of a single church, but perhaps those that were around. There would be these godly men, and she was silent, and they were ready, some of them, to dismiss her. And she said, that one of the elders then got up and said, my dear friend, can you answer me these questions? Were you a sinner? She said, yes, I was a sinner. A very vile sinner. He said, are you a sinner? She said, I am indeed a sinner. Then this was the vital question. What is the difference between you being a sinner then and a sinner now? Her answer was immediate. When I was a sinner, I loved sin and indulged in it. Now I am a sinner, but I hate it and desire to be freed from it. Well, then that will be a preparation for this better country. The desire to be free from sin. Well, dear friends, are you sick of it? You find that you fall again and again. But the Lord does lift up. He doesn't leave you in the slough of despond. He does give those little helps. We call them little, but not because they are little. Only when compared with the fullness of which you will receive. You may have a little assurance because you have not entered into the fullness of that assurance. And we may say that we cannot fully enter into that until perhaps we're either at our dying moment or we're entered into heaven itself. Yes, the assurances that we may have, we may prize them. They are as jewels, but when you think of how small a precious stone may be, yeah, it doesn't seem to be much, and yet there is the assurance. That which is given, the ring that bears the diamond, that is a token, isn't it? A sweet token. And we're in being joined together in that relationship of marriage. It is to be joined with him in a spiritual marriage. But he gives you the token. And though it may perhaps not seem to be much, it's that which speaks of everlasting love. Well, dear friends, you have therefore before you such a hope that he that has loved you now will love you to the end. And Jesus, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Therefore, there is the prospect. Where is he? In heaven. If he loves you, he will bring you then into the place of his loves. And he loves the place where his Father is honoured, and where he may present faultless every one that comes pleading for mercy at the footstool, his footstool. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. There we find then, there is an acceptance in and through his own blessed name. Well, but now they desire a better country. What do you want to be, what do you want or seeking after? With regard to this better country, I'll give you a little account of my own experience. I don't often give my own experience, but I was in those days at college down in Bognor Regis, and the nearest chapel was the chapel at Worthing, and I used to travel there every Sunday. Sometimes it was rather a difficult journey because of rail works, and we had to get out of one train and enter upon a bus and so on. And sometimes I was late for the prayer meeting. And I think I was on this occasion certainly not early. And as I came towards the door of the chapel, those words dropped in. Here my best friends, my kindred dwell, Here God, my Saviour, reigns. Not in the bricks and mortar, no, but because there were living stones. Those that were made are the spiritual building, and Christ the temple himself. I believe I had a desire, oh, that I'd maintain that. Oh, that I could say the same today, dear friends. But there was a desire that I may have the company of the people of God, the company also of angels who knew no sin, but nonetheless they knew much concerning the things of heaven itself. No, they could not enter into, though they may have looked into, the mysteries of the atonement. The child of God has that blessing of knowing atoning mercy and love, and then to be raised into that glory of which those that have enjoyed the glory through the eternity that they have lived and still must enjoy it, and would indeed welcome every saint made to be saints, not saints according to their own good doings and good works, but made to be saints because they are begotten. They are the sons and daughters by sweet and blessed adoption. We are what we are in Christ. Therefore we are brought into that fellowship. Do you desire fellowship with the saints here? You may say, oh, it's very lacking today. So it is. And who shall we blame? I can blame myself. Oh, that I had more of a ready tongue. Yes, we can talk about the weather and about our car and whatever and the house and all those things. But come to the things of God, how reticent, how backward. It is a complaint, I believe, that we'll ever be of the Lord's people, but we in our day should be more ashamed than we are. Think of those that previously went, lived, and how that they spake often one to another. There was a picture drawn by one of the articles in the Friendly Companion a good many years back called Come Wind, Come Weather. And it stated of those that walked over the moors to go to Rochdale Chapel in the days of Warburton and Kershaw. And I thought, as I read those accounts, well, they must have left their houses, joined up with one another. What was the prospect before them? What shall be preached today? And how one can believe that flavoured their conversation, those miles that they walked. And doubtless those miles, they do not seem to be very long. And then they had to return. And what was their conversation? Upon what they'd heard. Oh, that was therefore true communion. Well, we may lack it, but oh, for a desire for it. Even though you yourself cannot manufacture it. Oh, it would be poor if you could. It would. Yes, there are those where things may trip off the tongue, so to speak. And they will speak about what a wonderful sermon. You wonder how wonderful it is to them. Particularly when you find that in the week they are walking contrary to what they've heard. Yes, we're all guilty. We're all guilty. But oh, that the Lord might give us that desire for true communion. Well, friends, in this heavenly country, there will be no interference, nothing to come between. It will be Jesus in the midst of the throne. What will you see? The Lamb. And what has he done? He's shed his blood. Oh, then our song will be unto him. Well, now my time is gone almost, and we still haven't got very far with the text. But now they desire a better country that isn't heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. No, we may be sinners, and that we are sinners in his sight, for our sins are laid in the light of his countenance, and yet he'll call us friends. He will call us brothers and sisters as we are in him, and he will therefore receive us even as we are. Think of those that were beggars at the wayside, all in their rags. Yet when they cried unto him, he would stop, he would listen, he would do according to their desire. Well, poor sinner, cry on. May your cry come up unto him. God be merciful to me, a sinner. You know, I spoke this word today concerning repentance. Repentance is a gift of God, but he gives it unto those that have to confess their own vileness and wretchedness, and brought to declare themselves, I nothing am. Is that where we have to end it? My all is bound up in the Lamb. Then you seek a heavenly city. Yes, and this is, and God is not ashamed of you when this is what you are seeking. Seek mercy, seek deliverance, by prayer. May it be that these things, they become your meat and drink. There may be sorrows mixed with it in this world. There will be. But then, as you bring all your sorrows, so he will return them with joy. Now, lastly, I must just come to this. To be called their God, and he hath prepared for them a city. You will doubtless bring to mind the words that the Lord spoke to his disciples there in the upper room. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Their mansions were spoken of. My late mother-in-law was in Scotland, and she was not able to go to what we may call a sound chapel, a free Presbyterian. It was, I think, the Church of Scotland. There was the place, and they went, and the minister said, or read rather, from a modern version, where it said, in my Father's house are many rooms. She told the minister afterwards, she said, I want more than a room. My God prepares a mansion. Of course, there is the analogy and the comparison here. We know a room is only a very small compared with a mansion, but there the Lord has made such enlargement. But the point I want to bring forth here is that it speaks of a city. For he hath prepared for them a city. What is it likened to? When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, came through the wilderness with the promise of the promised land, that it would be divided up into their portions, there were cities for them to abide in. That was what was before them. The blessings of those cities, not if they were to enter and see them. No, Jericho must be levelled. And all the other cities consumed with fire. But they then built. They built those places as the Lord may so enable them. And Jerusalem, Jerusalem, a city that was set upon a hill. And I'll just end with these thoughts, or this thought, as my time is well gone. Jerusalem, my happy home, name ever dear to me, there, let us, you may look up the rest of the hill. And there yes, a city wherein dwelleth righteousness. Therefore they sought, yes, they desired a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. If any of you here, having listened this evening, feel to be left out, it will not be an uncommon experience, you know. Those that often are brought and run the race and obtain the high calling of God are those that may feel that they are left out. I must just conclude with this. Again, one of these Scottish ministers, I cannot bring to mind his name, it doesn't matter really, that is a small part, but he had a dream, and he dreamed that there was this line of pilgrims going into heaven, and he saw Abraham, and he saw Joseph and Samuel and David and so on, all entering into heaven, and he thought himself that there was no hope for him to enter there. And then coming up behind, he saw Manasseh on two crutches. Manasseh, you know, was the king who was the son of Hezekiah and led the people into the gross idolatry until the Lord touched him. And you see, here was the minister feeling himself to be so wretched and unworthy. But when he saw Mephibosheth, it gave him hope. Yes, one of the little ones. And a little one may indeed overcome at the last. Amen.
Let
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 573. Hymn 573, Tune Olivet 681. Jesus is the one thing needful. I without him perish must. Gracious Spirit, make me heedful. Help me in his name to trust, and with pleasure in him as my portion boast. He is needful in all stations while in Meshech I reside. All my springs and consolations in him as my head abide, and in glory I shall sing to him that died. Hymn 573, Tune Olivet 681.
Of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.